Let us begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning is all about you, Lord. Please help us worship you with an undistracted heart. May we hear your voice. You know how our minds wander to the upcoming week, the worries, the thoughts of others and other things. Father God, help us put those thoughts away and focus on you and your glory. We can feel your spirit here this morning. Strengthen our lives, inspire our spirits, Lord. Bless the anointing that will be occurring today. May we receive your wonderful love. Amen. I will be sharing from Luke 9 this morning, but if we go back to Luke 8, Dan already shared about the events that were occurring in Jesus' life. He was busy. He was healing and sharing and healing and sharing, and he and his disciples were looking for just a quiet place to rest. And so they went to Bethesda to gain some peace, maybe to regroup. And what was happening was people had heard about him, and they were gathering in the streets, and a woman basically crawled to perhaps see or talk with Jesus, and she reached out and she touched the hem of his clothing. She had been sick. She had been bleeding for years, not feeling well at all. I think about that, crawling to feel, to touch Jesus' clothing, to get close to his love, to receive his blessing. Jesus sensed the healing of this woman. Even as Jesus was looking to find a place to rejuvenate and re-energize, he stopped. He allowed for those to be healed to get close to him. He was never too busy for anyone in need. It was God's will that Jesus would give the power and authority of preaching and healing to his disciples. The 12 disciples had received the divine appointment from Jesus himself. Doesn't get any more personal than that, right? Gosh, it would have been amazing to see. Jesus had given his disciples the calling, sending them to preach and to heal. As God was calling the disciples, he was equipping them for sharing about the good news of Jesus. When Jesus calls, he equips. The disciples would use the lessons learned from Jesus and the gifts received from the Lord to renew the life-giving Spirit of God. With the Lord's help, healing was happening within the believer's body, mind, spirit, and relationships. I'll be reading from Luke 9. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirts. In our world, it would be no cell phone, no computer. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard about all that was going on. And he was perplexed because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead. Herod had John beheaded. Others thought that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, "I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about?" And he tried to see him. Do you know the gifts that Jesus has bestowed upon you? We belong to him, And we need to bring glory and honor to his kingdom through the gifts that he has given to us. Do you know your gifts? Are you a listener? A person who prays? A person who sings, shares, fixes, paints, hugs, laughs, provides rides, provides food? What is your gift? Do you know what your gift is? Are you using it? Are you sharing your gift with others? Do your family and friends recognize your gifts, or are you keeping it a secret? Do they know it was God who created that gift within you? Are you getting together to share and pray and learn more about God together and Jesus and learn about each other a little bit more? Boy, in our world, we need people. We need to be with people. May I suggest that the next time that you go out to eat lunch or have people over with family, coworkers, and friends, ask if you can say out loud the prayer, the grace together. Pray out loud. And not only give thankfulness for the food, but give thankfulness for your guest and share. What is the gift that your guest has? I can guarantee you there will be a slight attitude change. There will be joy. The conversation may shift. The person will feel the love of Jesus as their gift is recognized. The Lord asks us to experience our faith and to practice what we know and expect the Lord to work. The Lord will meet you in that place, and we are encouraged to express the faith that we have. We, as the body of Jesus Christ, have received the Holy Spirit. We are to live for his glorious kingdom. We represent his kingdom. I think we're good at it, as long as we keep on keeping on. What a blessing for the disciples to be commissioned to emulate Jesus Christ. Wow. They had no specific place to meet with others. They met in caves, by streams, in marketplaces, and sometimes they would even have a chance to speak in a synagogue. At times, the sharing occurred in small groups, and sometimes it was one-on-one sharing. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them. Two. It only takes two people. And he's with us when we pray. One. In our spiritual, prayerful life with him. Although the message was urgent, they were taught to teach about Jesus in a very simplistic way. They were taught to never force themselves on others, and then they proclaimed that the kingdom of God was present. And they preached what the kingdom of God was like. The disciples received authority over evil. The spiritual presence of Jesus was with the disciples. They were all dependent on God. Through the kindness of others, they would be able to continue on, and their needs would be met. When a person would offer them their house, they would stay there for the duration of that visit. Sometimes it looked pretty good at that house over there, with they had more bedrooms or they had more food. It didn't matter. They were to stay in the house that invited them first. Friendships would develop. People would know where to find them when they stayed in that house. If they felt danger, they would offer peace and grace and then walk away and shake the dust off their feet. I read, if Jewish people of that time had to go in or through a Gentile city, as they left, they often shook the dust off their feet as a gesture saying, we don't want to take anything from this Gentile city with us. Essentially, Jesus told his disciples to regard a Jewish city that rejected their message as if it were a Gentile city. They could shake their shoes off. But I believe a seed was planted, no matter where they went. The disciples were to preach the gospel and bring God's healing so that all could seek peace and walk according to the will of God. You see that for today's world? I guess they'd have to take the news off the TV. So there just would be nothing awful to report. It'd be all good stuff. They were to never give the impression that they had other motives. The message stayed the same. Jesus is the Messiah, and he is present. Both Jews and Gentiles recognized the kingdom of God would be very different than what they had learned. The community of the kingdom is for all who repent and believe. The people were submitting their whole lives to Jesus. We can rejoice, even today, for the mercy and love that Jesus and his disciples shared with others at the time, at their time. What a gift. We can rejoice in the new life that comes to each of us who come to in repentance to receive God's power in their lives. And we can rejoice that the Lord heals us and he strengthens us. Jesus came to give life and to give it abundantly. Referring back to Luke 9:7-9, we learn that Herod was hearing of a wonderful man who was blessing and healing others. He wondered if it was John who had returned from the dead. He wants to see this man who is healing. Herod thought that the threat to him may have been the prophet Elijah, who was known for his miracles. Herod was interested in the stories of healing, but also thought of Jesus as his rival. He was threatened by him. The stories of Jesus continued to be presented to Herod, and he so wanted to see Jesus. Jesus was told that Herod wanted to kill him. It became very evident that Jesus and the disciples were in danger. Herod never met Jesus face to face until his very last week of life, Jesus' life. And Jesus did not speak a word. Jesus Christ continues to invite us to become his child, to become his follower, to become his disciple. He provides strength to the weak. He loves each of us with our sinful ways, our faults, our blemishes. He loves each of us. We are truly blessed. In your bulletin is a unison prayer, which we will share together. Please read with me. Gracious God in heaven, we give you thanks for your care and love as evidenced in your Son, Jesus Christ. For his teachings, his example of love and service, his suffering and death, we give thanks. For his mission in revealing your will to proclaim release to the captive, recovery of the sight to the blind, restoration of health for the ill, and liberty to those who are pressed, we praise you. For your gift of the Holy Spirit, active in our spirits, minds, and bodies, we praise you. Through the Holy Spirit, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts that we may truly love you and worship you in spirit and in truth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We have a friend, Dave, here, who has quite a story. I almost gave it away. Quite a story, but I'd like to invite Dave to come up to share about his healing experience, and we're blessed to have him here this morning.
I'm not that good at telling stories, but I don't think I've ever been on this side of a podium. But a few years back, I was working with Jake, Lance, and Donna, and it's funny, I don't usually work with them. When I was working for his son, I was too busy on the regular job, so I ended up with Jake and Donna. And it was early in the morning, and I was trying to clear off this deck we were going to stay in. And I couldn't lift a chair. It was just a lawn chair. It wasn't anything, you know. So I tried to lift it over the railing to Jake, and I couldn't do it. So I knew something was wrong. And Donna, Jake's wife, said, "You have a heart problem," because her mom had a heart problem. She knew a little bit about it. So I ended up going to the, well, I went home, and I tried to just lay down and sleep it off. And my wife, Sandy, she tried to convince me to go to the hospital. Anyway, I finally did, and they were doing all these tests and things, and they came up and said, "Oh, I must have had a heart attack, or a slight heart attack anyway, and there was a problem with my heart." So I went to Grandview. They took me to Lehigh, which is just a better equipped hospital. So I went there. They did a lot more tests, all kinds of MRIs and every test you could think of. And here I had a defective valve in my heart. It had a little, like a lump on it or something. I don't know. But they just gave me some medicine and I could go home. I had to plan on getting open heart surgery to get this fixed. So that's what I did. I went home and I thought, man, what should I do? And I thought, I better go to church. And I called Jake Lentz. I mean, I hadn't been going to church a lot. I never did my whole life, but since I was a kid anyway. So anyhow, I came here and Jake and Donna, I think, were here that day. Or your kids were here? I don't know why. But they asked to be on the prayer list, and Jake started praying. He was up here leading the thing or whatever. he said, "We want your help, Lord, in guiding the surgeon's hand." And I said, "Wait a minute, Jake. Wait, I don't know if any of you remember this that day, but it's more relevant to me, so I remember." I said, I don't want to get the surgery. I want, you know, some healing here. And so that's what Jake prayed for, and I prayed for, and Sandy prayed for. And so anyhow, I had this surgery scheduled, and it's like the day before surgery. And Jake and Donna, I don't know if I asked them or if they asked me, they came up and to my house, and we prayed together, and we prayed for healing, and the guided the surgeon's hand if we need that. But so I said, "Jake, I want this doctor to tell me to go home. That's what I wanted. I didn't want to get this surgery." So we get to the hospital the next morning. My daughter came and Sandy. And they were getting me ready for surgery. They shaved everything off in front of me. So there I was, naked to the world. And the doctor said, "Before I do the surgery, we're going to do one more test." And then he put the thing over my face and I was out. But here it turns out, I woke up 4 hours later, and what does the doctor tell me? He goes, "You can go home." The same words I used with Jake for the prayer. And I just couldn't believe it. I said, "Is this some kind of effing joke?" And I really said that because I was like in shock. So I said, "This is exactly what I was praying for, Doc." And He didn't want to hear about that. He just went on to his next patient, you know. And so that's pretty much my story. I think it's a miracle. And I want everyone to remember every day is like a gift. I mean, just to be here. I don't know how to stress that anymore. I thought I was a goner. And I had said goodbye to my kids the night before, too. Like I said, I might not be back, you know. So it was really, I think it was a miracle. And prayer does work.
Quite a story. Wow. Just wanted to share with you from James 5, verse 14. James 5, verse 14. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. It's very biblical, the practice that we're going to share right now. It's a gift from Jesus. And we're going to invite you to come up one at a time. Jake will pray and I will pray with you and over you. If you wanted a family member to come up with you to place their hands on you, that's perfectly fine. Anointing is a time of healing. It's a time of being blessed. I can recall one time in my life when I came up and I just couldn't get the words out for what I needed. And I just kind of cried the whole time through my blessing. And that was perfectly fine. And that's fine for you. If you just would like a blessing, please feel free to come up. And so we'll have some music with Eloise when she gets back up from the children. And you may read through the packet of prayers or of the Bible verses as people are coming up to receive an anointing. So Jake, if you would like to come up.